We're also joined by Scott McKay, political analyst for the Publix Radio. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Joe Shekarchi, you've long been one of Rodin's top political fundraisers. You now have more than $1 million in your campaign account. Is there any chance that you will run for a statewide general office in 2022?
I don't know. It's not on my radar at the moment, but I'm keeping all my options open.
You're not ruling it out?
I rule nothing out. I never have, and I never will.
Would your inclination be to stay in the House of Representatives?
Yes. I enjoy the House very much. I have a lot of friends in the House. I enjoy my job immensely, and I could see myself staying for a foreseeable future.
But you could be potentially roadblocked from the top position of speakership, since Speaker Mattiello indicates he wants to potentially see two more terms as Speaker. That would be another 4 or 5 years. How would that filter into your thinking?
As long as the Speaker is the Speaker, he'll have my support. I think he's done a great job as Speaker. He's a friend of mine, a personal friend, but he's also done a very good, if you look at the work product and what we've done as far as legislation and budget-wise, we've done a good thing, and I've been a part of that. So
the question is, though, would his inclination to stay as Speaker make you more likely to seek another office outside of the State House?
Respectfully, no. That decision is, for me, is a life-altering decision. It's giving up my law practice. It's changing my lifestyle. So I'd have to make that decision, based on personal factors.
Let's go to Scott.
I'm wondering, Governor Raimondo's been on a bit of a losing streak at this point, and I'm wondering if you think it's time, like the Red Sox bullpen, for her to perhaps shake up some of her staff.
That's a decision that the governor would make. I would never comment to say to somebody, you need to, replace this person or that person on anybody's staff. I can tell you that I'm very happy with my staff, and they're great people, and I work with them. And if you work with good people, then you work every day. It's not a job.
Joe Shekarchi, you've downplayed the impact of the continuing contracts bill passed by the legislature this year and signed into law by Governor Raimondo. But the Boston Globe recently reported that the Rodin League of Cities and Towns is considering taking legal action over this law because they think the effects would be so negative. If the effects would be so benign as you believe, why is the League of Cities and Towns so fearful about this?
That you'll have to ask them. They've talked to Angel Tavares, the former mayor of Providence, who's an outstanding attorney. So I give them kudos if they're going to challenge it. And that's certainly their right. I understand that. And I think the biggest problem is I'm talking about the cause and effect of this in terms of the law and what the law does and doesn't do. And I think they're concerned about they're losing the ability to use it at the bargaining table. And I think that's their concern. I don't think the implementation of the actual law is as bad as they fear. I think they are a little bit disappointed, speaking of the mayors in general, that they don't have this to, work with as far as their negotiations with the unions. That's my guess.
Why do you think it is that the Speaker refused to allow Governor Raimondo's plan to raise the minimum wage to come to a vote? I mean, the fact is that we're way below Connecticut and Massachusetts. We have an overwhelmingly Democratic assembly, and you're supposed to help out working folks. Why no minimum wage increase?
So there are a lot of other things that we've done that have helped out working people or working class. But what I think is that the business community felt that, we've been raising it quite a bit over the last couple of years.
But we're still way below our neighbors.
We're way below our neighbors on a lot of things, Scott. So you just can't say that as a catch-all, and that's what we're going to do. There's a give and take, and I think we have done a very good job of it. I think we'll probably see this year coming up that there'll be some kind of an increase in the minimum wage. As you know, over the years since I've been there, we've had significant minimum wage increases. We've also raised the minimum wage for tip workers. We've raised the earned income. So we've done a lot for the working people and will continue to do so, but it's about balance. We need to keep our economy competitive.
We're talking here with Rodin House Majority Leader Joseph Shekarchi, and WPRI has reported on how there have been some delays in the schedule on the Fane Tower project. The developer seems to have a little bit of trepidation. Does this raise red flags to you about whether this project will actually come to fruition?
I know it has to some people, and the media has speculated, but to me, I'll be honest with you, I have nothing to do illegally, personally, in my practice with Mr. Fane or the tower, but I represent very similar types of development throughout the state. It is very common to have delays. There's a lot of moving parts. The deals are always evolving. the economy changes, interest rate change, banks change, architects are very busy, engineers are very busy, the wheels of government move slow, as I tell my clients in my private practice. So you may have a schedule, you may have a prediction that you think was going to happen. Inevitably, it never happens early. You're lucky if it happens on time. And most of the time, and especially a project of this size and scope, there's going to be a delay. I could have predicted this before the project started. And that goes with the city of Warwick, the city of Johnston, Providence, Woonsocket. There are always delays because you're dealing with municipal government.
As a concept, do you support or oppose the Fane Tower and why?
I support it because I think it's good development. I think it's jobs and it's tax revenue. I think the city of Providence clearly needs the tax revenue. And I also think it sends a signal for a man or a company from Canada or Toronto, wherever Mr. Fane is from, that Rhode Island's open for business. You can come here and you'll be welcome to do business. So I think if we didn't do this, I think it sends a bad signal to the rest of the state.
How about if the state legislature came into Warwick and totally stripped Warwick of its local control and said, you're going to build this and you're going to do it? And we know in Providence, that's what the legislature's done. It's also crony capitalism for a $5,000 a month luxury apartment building with absolutely no requirement that this guy Fane chip in for affordable housing.
The way you were talking, you may sound like you were talking about an airport. Someone may want to come and say, we want to build an airport in your city, and you have nothing to say about it. So we have those issues. We need to look at these things not from a NIMBY syndrome, but look at it. Does this benefit the state of Rhode Island? Does it benefit all of Providence? You may not like Scott that he has a $5,000 a month apartment, but if someone is willing to spend that kind of money and live in the city of Providence, we should welcome them and not look down our nose for them.
Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker this week signed a $43 billion budget for that state. Massachusetts has about seven times the population of Rhode Island, but its budget is only about four times the size of Rhode Island's almost $10 billion budget. So does that show that spending is out of control in Rhode Island?
I don't necessarily say that. I think that Massachusetts has a lot of things. They're the gold standard in many ways. You can compare Massachusetts not just with Rhode Island, but many other states looking at its size. They have the benefit of some tremendous private colleges, institutions. They have big endowments. They're able to do a lot of things. Those universities provide a lot of free care, reduced cost. They're involved in the community. We don't have that. Most states don't have that. By the way, when you compare Rhode Island, you know, to the whole state and many things, we're somewhere in the middle. If you try to compare us with Massachusetts, we're always going to be on the short end of the stick.
But there are a lot of parts of Massachusetts, central Massachusetts, southeastern Massachusetts, that seem to have more economically and culturally in common with Rhode Island than the 128 belt around Boston. So why is it that per capita Massachusetts is spending so much less money than Rhode Island?
I think it has to do with everything. It may be so compact that up in and around the general Boston area, you can get around as much. Real estate's booming. They have a public transportation system. Now, if you listen to them, they think they have the worst public transportation in the country. But actually, I lived in Massachusetts when I went to school. I took the T, the red line, every day. It works. It functions. You can get in and out of the city. It's desirable. People want to be there. Companies want to be there. They want to be with the institutions, and they want to be with all the benefits that the city of Boston offers.
Should Kent Hospital in your home city of Warwick and Care New England move ahead to link up with partners in Boston? How do you feel about that?
I will leave that decision for them to make. But
How do you feel about it?
Let me finish. I was going to tell you. I think that having partners here in Rhode Island is a good thing overall in general. How we do it, how it gets done, those are the details, and the devil's in the details. That's important. But I think it helps the state, and I think we did the right thing. We gave, you know, Lifespan the opportunity to try to strike a deal. I think for the second or third time, it can't happen. So I think Care New England needs to look to partner up. Maybe it's not with partners, but with another healthcare system.
That's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And Rhode Island House Majority Leader, a Warwick Democrat, Joseph Shekarchi.
My pleasure.